This is Dub Alexander, your host of Are You Real Government? I've got a great show coming up for you right after these words from our partners.
Hey everyone, this is Mike.
And this is Brian of Fellowship Home Loans.
Many things make us different, but what do our clients say?
We can close your loan in weeks, not months like other lenders. They love our low rates and, of course, our personalized one-on-one approach.
Call us today at 800-804-SAVE or online at fellowshiphomeloans.com.
Government is everywhere, personally, nationally, globally, and heavenly. Welcome to Are You Real Government, the premier media outlet where we discuss what's going on around the world and how to release God's governance, the kingdom, into it. Each week, we'll be equipping you with kingdom understanding and giving you the inside track to government leaders around the globe. Now get ready to get real about government with Are You Real Government.
What in the world is going on, and more importantly, what in your world is going on? This is Dub Alexander, spiritual advisor to the influential and your host of Are You Real Government? Don't forget that you can catch the original Are You Real Purpose with John Fuller every Wednesday on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. I've got a great show for you today with Dr. Andre F. Pfizer, who is the founder, pastor, and a master life strategist of the Kairos Institute of Personal Discovery, which is a spiritual awareness and potential development center in Houston, Texas. He is also the publisher of Divine House Books. Pfizer has devoted his life to the genius work of the kingdom and the Father's divine mind as it pertains to the spiritual intelligence of the sons of God in the earth. I'm super excited to share this interview with you, so sit back and enjoy. On this episode, I really want to get into how the kingdom of God itself is governmental in nature. And
okay.
One of the definitions that I use on the show for the kingdom is simply that the kingdom of God is the establishment of the heart and the authority of Father here on earth. But I'd love to hear how you define it with that Pfizer finesse.
Oh, man, I didn't know I had a finesse with it.
For sure.
No, really. Everyone has a deposit of the overall allness of God in them. It doesn't express itself religiously, though, and I think that's what makes people nervous about it. Because God has deposited himself in every one of us. But it has a different vernacular, a different rhythm, a different language, and a different doingness that goes with it that doesn't fit a standardized churchianity or religiosity. But if we take the Christianese out of it, the structural religious formality that makes us all acceptable to everyone, you'll see something dynamic. So when you say the kingdom of God is the establishment, it's the ruler, it's the catalyst of some sort. It's the catalyst of every bit of allness and isness in the world. But because we don't respect people, we need it to look like a respectable pattern for us to be safe with it. And as often as you want to be, if the more that you want to be safe, the more you don't see God.
Dang, that's a good statement right there.
You follow what I'm saying? Now, I'm just telling you the truth of it. I like what you wrote here, and it's good. That's how I would see that. The kingdom of God is the establishment of the heart and authority of Father. Yeah, the heart, the creative freeness of him, the fearlessness of him not contending with a devil, him not contending with poverty and contending with things that make God great to us. You know, God has to fix our finances in order for us to have a testimony. He has to heal me to have a testimony. He's beyond what he has to do for us to make us glad about him.
Wow.
You know, so that's the rule that he desires. But our fear of non-safety and non-boundary, our fear of a lack of a structure to make it palatable makes this establishment a little slow in being seen in the earth.
Yeah.
Because we want a palatable God. We want a God that's palatable to our color, to our race, our culture, our money. We want God to be compatible and palatable. We want it to be in a verse. Well, God's not a verse, but we want a verse to prove it. Show me that in the Bible where that's at. It's like we got to show it in the 66 books and however many verses. Show me where that's at. And as long as we got to show people the verse, we never become the word of God because we're still showing people the verse.
That's good.
That's what's so funny about this. Show me in the Bible. It's like I am the word. That's what Jesus said. I am the verse.
Yeah.
The more we remain at a discomfort in being a word, we'll never understand the verse.
Come on.
Because I'm scared to be a word. And because I'm scared to be a word from God, I have to show you the verse of man. But when you become the word, when you realize that you are a thought of God, that as he is, so are we. I am who God is. I am what he is. As soon as the consciousness believes it, not the intellect, but the consciousness, as soon as the inner rhythm accepts that, I was with God, you were with God before the foundation of the earth. Your consciousness tells you that every day. When you have deja vu, that's telling you, you were here before. Every time you say, man, I've seen this before, it's like, yeah, you did. You were here before. But that doesn't sound palatable to the consciousness. That sounds like, so I need a verse to kind of gradually bring me into an intellectual acceptability of God. Religion allows you to romance God, but the kingdom allows you to be God. That's a big difference. God, see, we are lords in the earth. Said King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To the religious, that's a verse, but to sons, that's a reality. It means when I'm a Lord, I can speak to the atmosphere. And the atmosphere must obey what I say because the atmosphere, listen, when Jesus, you don't mind if I just talk just a little bit. I got this out of your question, though. This, you asked this. I'm not, you asked this in the question. You did this. I didn't do this. You did this. When Jesus was on the boat, he was asleep. And it was a storm, man. He was asleep. The word said he was sleeping soundly. He was snoring, which means he was tired. He's sleeping down at the bottom of the door. He's sleeping. The disciples said, you don't care if we die? And he said, you of little faith, or you of little awareness. You of little awareness. He says, and he just raised his hand, and he spoke to the rain. And it stopped. They said, what kind of man is this that even the rains and wind obey him? Well, in order for the rain to obey him, the rain had to hear him. Wow. And if the rain can hear, the rain can think. Jesus knew that the atmosphere can not only hear, it does not only hear, the atmosphere thinks. And if the atmosphere can think, then the atmosphere knows a person of influence. Just like you know influential people. When an influential man walk in, something in you rises up. You be like, you are yearning to see this guy before you see this guy. See, you'll go to Washington. They say, we think Ambassador Jones is going to be here. We think Vice President Pence is going to be here. They say Pence is going to be here. They say the main guy that prays for Pence is going to be here. I don't know this. I'm making this up. I don't know this. I'm just saying something. So just kind of play along with my father. They said the intercessor for Trump is going to be here. They say this is a person mutants who has the voice of Washington. They're going to be here. And you're sitting at the table with a glass of tea in front of you, and you're looking before they get there. And after a while, you see the Secret Service men and contingents. Something in you is like, first of all, something in you begins to celebrate because you say, I am here with them. Something in you feels good about your existence because you begin to look when you were living somewhere a long time ago. Now, here I am in Washington. Who would imagine I would be sitting here with these people? Because you know influence. And as soon as they come in, you look and you want to be seen by them. So you smile. And then when they reach their hand out to shake your hand, something in you goes off but you're contained now, and you actually touch the person that is that people want to see. And then they sit down and talk to you in private. They say, so tell us, what do you do? And after a while, you begin to kind of say what you do, but you might embellish it a little bit. You know, I'm over a thing. You know, you kind of build it up a little bit. You're not lying, but you kind of, you know, you kind of cut the fat off. Well, you kind of cut. You say, well, I'm a part of an international contingency. I'm a strategist. You begin to talk like you've spoken to millions of people because you are matching the intensity of the influence. Well, the atmosphere does the same thing. The atmosphere knew that's a God down there, so they shut up. The atmosphere stopped. The atmosphere knew if we don't listen, we're going to be punished. So, as the nature of God, we have the ability to speak to a situation, and it must respect us. And if it don't respect us, it's because we haven't fully comprehended our lordship.
Come on.
Because the atmosphere can think, Doug. If it can think, it can measure men and women like you measure men and women. You measure people. You know who has influence and who doesn't. And sometimes the measure of respects, the measure of respect will determine the measure of obedience, the measure of adherence. The atmosphere does the same thing. You remember the demons. Let me slow myself down because now you, this is my life right here. Remember when the demonic spoke to Jesus and they said, why did you come here to hurt us before time? Jesus wasn't even talking to devils. Jesus was talking to something else, and a devil spoke out and said, don't hurt us.
Right.
Don't you know that the atmosphere of evil or the demonic atmosphere or principalities of thoughts recognizes you the same way? And they don't recognize you like that at church. They recognize you out there in daily life. That's the lordship of the kingdom.
Come on.
But that's an emotional adherence. That's not, you can't be, you can be taught the dynamical structure of the kingdom, and you can write the notes down and re-speak them to people, and you can sound incredible speaking what you wrote down. Everybody can take some of your sayings and kind of turn them around and re-say them like it's their own. But the atmosphere knows the frequency of where it was birthed. The atmosphere never listens to a quote. It listens to a frequency. It'll never listen to a saying. People listen to sayings, but the atmosphere listens to frequency.
Come on.
People listen to talk. The atmosphere listens to the vibration. It knows. I could read stuff online, and I know every word of mine. I could read it, and I could say it. That's mine. I know what was birthed out of me. I know all of my kids. I know all of my offspring. People could take the quotes and re-say them and re-spin them. I said, that's mine. Because I know the angle of my brain. The kingdom is in the brain. It's in the psychosis of the consciousness. It's more than a message. It's a frequency of the before times of the generations. It's a frequency of what happened before there was a world. It's a frequency that happened. Man, let's listen. This is what you asked me. This is what you asked me. I'm just answering the question. You right. said the kingdom of God is the establishment. That's what I'm answering what you said.
Yeah.
Of the heart and authority of the Father here on earth. Of course, it's a frequency. I know, Jesus said, I know every one of you. I know all them that are mine. It's a frequency. It's a frequency. It's not a saying. People steal sayings every day. When I write on Facebook, I don't really like to write nobody else stuff. I don't like to say nobody. And I don't have nothing against that. That's me. But because the atmosphere is waiting for what's in my vault.
Yeah.
I can read people's stuff. I read some people, I'll be like, oh yeah, I like that. Very few people I can look and say, okay, I see where you're going. I see where you're going. I see you. But I know when it's a quote, and then I know when it's a frequency. I can react better to a frequency. I don't react to quotes good. I react to frequencies because I know you're going to stay there. When it's a quote, you'll shift according to the trend. See, when it, whatever is the trend of spirituality is what people speak from. But when you control the narrative from the frequency, you control the atmosphere at all times.
Come on, man.
That's a power that a lot of people don't want to have. They don't want to have that. They want the benefit of that power, but they don't want to become that power. Because when you become that, you don't have no large group to pastor. You have a few people who want to be that. So you got to get used to small and big. When you carry that frequency, you're going to have a small circle. You're going to have a big influence, but you're going to have a very small circle because not many people can handle that palette of becoming.
Yeah.
Can't do it, man. Can't do it. The kingdom is more uncovered than discovered. The wow. kingdom is more uncovered in us. We realize what we already were. As we seek for it, we realize we had it all the time. But it doesn't look like Christianity. It doesn't look like the safe planes of Christian living.
Yeah.
Where we sit down, we pray, and you confess, go ahead and read. You're going to read, we're going to declare, and we have a nice service, and we got child care available. We got childcare. You all right? We got childcare. You know, you can bring the kids. And so it's not really, you know, that's cool, but it's really not that. It's a caughtness. It's in the vernacular. It has a unique and crazy, unusual expression when you listen to it. Yeah. You got to become comfortable with being odd and peculiar if you want to do this.
I hear you.
Yeah. Go ahead. What's the next question, man? Because see, dude, we could go. See, this is what I was bringing the government. And it's like, God, how do I sound like a politician with this?
Right.
I couldn't do it. But I was doing good. I was cool. I said, What we have to do is bring a certain type of unique mentorship to the community, if we could inspire them to create a legitimate situation. It was like, what? If we could establish virtuous dialogue in it from every man's heart, they were like, what? What's the same way Jesus would confuse the media of his time? That's what we do.
Come on.
We have a transcendent knowledge. Let me hear you say transcendent.
Transcendent.
Yeah. Go ahead and ask the next question, man, because see, I've you done started with this, man. Go ahead, man.
You could knock out a whole show with just one question, man.
Yeah, man. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom, Dub. When you're speaking from the isness and the allness of everything, all you got to do is ask one. The kingdom is question activated. When a person says, how can the river would just flow in you? But you just can't preach it. You can't preach the kingdom to an unready people. You can't do it. They don't have the taste, man.
That's so true.
I have sometimes, even in my own ministry, I said, I don't have nothing to teach y'all, but is there any question? I can't just teach you something. Because if your personal zone hasn't been eating like this, you're not going to eat the buffet.
Man.
You're not going to do it. Because who you think you are is not doing it on your own. See, we lie when we come to service. When we come to church, we're really lying because we're there. And so one person tells us a whole bunch of stuff and tells you what to write down. Write that down. You write that down. And then you leave the notes in the car.
That's true.
The notes, you never go back over the notes until it's your turn to preach. And when it's your turn to preach, you go pull out all the notes and you start kind of pulling stuff off. It's like, no, no. Dude, when you have that consciousness of the allness of God, you don't ever really have to study what to say to anybody because the reality is already there. You're going to serve a meal to them. So I'm going to go ahead and feed you what I've been eating.
Yeah.
I have meat you know not of. I'm about to feed you some meat I've been feeding on.
Yeah, can you speak to the difference between information and revelation?
Oh, yeah. Some information is what you've captured from another. And revelation is the meat from who you are. Every man was born with a revealing of himself. Whatever is constantly being revealed from yourself comes to you in practical form, and you can write it down because you're living from that river. Whatever river you're living from is the constant revelation of the Lord. It's from within instead of outside coming to you. It's inside coming out. Information is outside coming to you. It's how you look at things and how you study what you're looking at. Revelation is what's looking at you, and it comes from within without. It's the eyes of your birthright constantly looking at you, talking to you. It's the conversation between who you are now and who you were before. And when who you are now speaks to who you were before, the foundation of the word of the world, it's called revelation. Because who you were in eternity's beginnings and who you are right now talks to one another all the time. That's why when Jesus was baptized, he would always hear God speaking from before, saying, "This is my son." Because Jesus was speaking to who he was then and who he is now. And so whenever those things meet, every word is established on earth because it has to match what I said before I got here.
Golly.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah. Your message got to be, you got to say what you were saying before you were born. That's why Jesus said the scriptures speak of me. Before Abraham was, I am. They say, dude, you're not even 50 years old. He said, before Abraham was ever, he said, I was.
Yeah.
I'm saying what I've always been saying. And see, when you speak now what you spoke then, a new mantle is upon you. Not the mantle of a Christian palate. But God puts his own robe on your shoulder to let you know you were with me before the world was. This is a reminder to let you know that you were with me before you were here now. When God gives every man a gift, that gift is not just a talent. It's a confirmation that God was with you before the foundation of the world. He said, I'm going to leave this with you to let you know that we were together. So all of the unique things that you know how to do, there is a virtue in it. And it's to let you know that you were with God before there was ever anything else. He said, I'm going to leave this reminder with you. And the more you function from that beginning treasure, the more you see God. The more you see, the more you see it, man. Revelation is incredible because really you live from that. That's your sustaining power. Information changes. Revelation evolves.
Oh, my goodness.
Information will change, though. It'll change today.
Yeah.
Somebody could tell you something and it sounds good. You write it down. You'll say what they said. And after a while, information is almost like manna. It's only good that day.
Oh,
and when he gave him the manna, he said, y'all eat that today. Don't save it. You better eat it today. When they went back, some folks tried to save it, though. Some folks tried to save it. And when they went back, it was worms in it. See, information is full of worms. It's only good for the day. He said, you can eat that today. Don't come back for it later. It's gonna be worms. See, but there is no worms in Revelations. There's no worms in that because that's your umbilical cord from then and now. Information, you better use it right now. It's changing tomorrow. You're gonna have to update your browser shortly. You're gonna have to update your browser. It's only good for now. You're gonna have to update it.
Yeah.
You say, I don't know what happened. What's wrong with my computer? It's running. I can't see it. What's wrong with it? Even on your phone, you can be on your phone and say, well, the apps are sticking. And then you look and say, system upgrade. It's time to upgrade to your iPhone. So when Apple's notorious for that. When you got to upgrade, they make the present phone stop working. They make you go to iPhone 10.
Yeah.
They'll make you go to it. I said, Lord, I need to get the 10. Calls dropping. You can't text. They said, we still. You need to upgrade or move on.
Right.
That's information, man. Information to slow you down. When there is an upgrade, the present information to slow you down, it'll bring confusion, man. Come on, you know this. Why you know this, Doug? Why are you asking this? You know all this stuff.
I love how you keep using the word remind, that God is reminding you. He's bringing you back to his mind, that you came from his mind.
Yes. You always had it. It's in you when you're quiet. But you have to yield to it.
Come on.
It's a certain dimension of comfortability that you got to exchange.
Yeah.
A certain dimension of predictability that you have to exchange.
Man, that's good.
That's what's hard, because we still live in the practical world. And there are some things we depend on practically, to the point that some spiritual things only good for one day a week for 2 or 3 hours. See, we got to have special meetings for our identity. Whenever you got to have special meetings for your identity, it's letting you know how engrossed in the practical humanity of your life, because you got to have special meetings.
Oh my goodness.
You don't have enough world for your identity. So you need a message of the kingdom instead of the experience, instead of the reality of the kingdom. We need to talk about the kingdom for just a few days. And then we're going to go on and we're going to get caught up in it and worship, and we're going to fall out. Some of us going to faint. You got to drag some of us out of there, because we fell out under the glory cloud. We got a gold tooth in our mouth. We got dust in our, we got dust on us and stuff like that. So we got to have a few days. But humanity, we got to have that. It's like, well, you know, we need a balance. See, it's a balance between religion and humanity. But when you're from the divine, everything you are it will revolve around your identity. And every now and then, it sort of messes up my humanity. You know, I have health issues, but even in my health issues, my identity is baffling my doctors, because I'm supposed to be on dialysis. And they said, your skin still looks good and your eyes are not jaundiced. And I just cried. They said, we hate to bring the bad news. I said, it's not bad news. I'm just realizing how powerful I've been living. I can't tell them it's the kingdom. I just tell them it's a purpose in me that I got. And it's kind of, see, even though I have death in my body, the debt is obeying the life in my body.
I've got more with Dr. Pfizer right after this 30-second message from our partners.
We get asked all the time, why Fellowship Home Loans? What makes us different? Hey everyone, this is Mike.
And this is Brian of Fellowship Home Loans.
Many things make us different, but what do our clients say?
We can close your loan in weeks, not months like other lenders. They love our low rates and, of course, our personalized one-on-one approach. And always, our clients get 2 months off from their mortgage payments and $1,000 back at closing.
Our motto itself, mortgage lending guided by Christian principles. Call us today at 800-804-SAVE or online at fellowshiphomeloans.com.
Yeah, there is a consciousness in you. Because when you become one with the consciousness, you start thinking like God. You're not thinking like a saved man.
Yeah.
See, a saved man still has trauma, but a Lord has authority.
Wow, say that again.
A saved man has trauma. See, I'm going to show you what, I'm going to break it down. If I'm a guy who couldn't swim, and I jumped in the water to have fun, but all of a sudden I got caught in some kind of suck hole and somebody jumped in and saved me, I'm not gonna wanna jump back in the water. See, I'm saved, but I'm scared of the water. I'm traumatized, so I'll never get in the water again. I'ma always stay on the banks, Dub. I'ma always sit down on the bank and I'ma put my foot in the water, because I remember when I was almost drowning. See, saved people are afraid because they have a trauma from where they was rescued from. But when you are Lord, man, I'm the Lord of the ocean. I can walk on the water. See, it's a different mentality when you, oh, come on, Dub, you stop that. See, you knew this already. Why are you playing with me, Dub? Why are you playing with me? Saved people have trauma. That's why saved people walk in fear. Saved people walk in doubt. They walk in procrastination and confusion because they're still traumatized from deliverance.
Man. You're giving
Come me. Come on, Doug. And so that's why the Father is trying to awaken a lordship with. within us to let us know that all things are well. All things belong to you. But we don't, the trauma, I'm still battling the kingdom in trauma. Religious people is for those in trauma. Religion is for the traumatose, the traumatized and the comatose. The religion is for those who are traumatized. It's a babysitting barn for people who were abused. And so you've got to pat them. You can't talk about certain things too much. They'll put you out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the kingdom is amongst lords. It's the food of lords. The kingdom meat is food for lords. Yeah. And the Holy Spirit comes to teach us to be lords. Constant, we're learning how to be as God.
Yeah.
We're learning it. Jesus said, I do everything I see my Father do. My Father's taught me. He's taught me. God teaches us to be what he is. He doesn't know how to teach us according to man's interpretation of him. God will never teach you Christian things. God, he never made it. God, listen, Dub, I'm going to say something. God ain't even saved.
That's true. That's true.
So he don't know how to be saved.
Right.
God be telling you to do stuff that you never done before. You be like, I never done that. He say, yes, you did. You did it here. He, God would tell you to do stuff nobody trained you to do. I start a business, like, yeah, go start that. You're a multi-million-dollar contractor. Yeah, this you are.
Dang.
Because he can't teach you how to be saved. He's never experienced being saved.
That's true.
So he just puts you out there. When Jesus got his disciples, he said, go out there and cast out the devils. They didn't even have the Holy Ghost. They didn't even speak in tongues. He said, go out there and let's do this. Let's go out there and do that. He made people walk on water. Jesus was walking on water. Peter said, if that's you, let me come out there. He said, come on out here. Come on out here.
Right.
Yeah, man. God teaches us to be what he is. When God created God's first human being, was a full-grown man, never created a baby. He created him already man. He created a man. He didn't even create a baby. He created a man.
Yeah.
So whenever God speaks to you, he speaks to the man you already are. He don't speak to the baby. He speaks to, come on, Dub, y'all. This is what you asked me, and this is just the first question.
This is still question one.
That's still question one, Dub.
I always say that you don't have to wear a Jesus t-shirt when you're living as he is.
Oh, no. No, you can wash the car with it. You use it as a, you can wash the car with it. You don't have to wear it. If you don't have nothing else clean, you can put it on. But, you know,
yeah.
You can wash the car. Give me that Jesus t-shirt and you have to wash these tires. But people are afraid of that, man. They love the sayings of Christ. They don't want to be Christ saying anything. We are him. He just used the ground to make a you. And then he breathed him into the ground.
Yes.
We're the breath of God. You and I are the breath of God, man.
Yes.
Scientists have been proven. When you look at our blood, the iron in our blood comes from stars.
Wow.
It's scientifically proven that when you look at the iron in our blood, it's from a supernova. Heaven made us. The breath of God made us. That's a scientific fact. That we got the element of the stars in the iron in our blood, which means God breathed in us. So they still find star principles in the iron in our blood, which means we live from the heavens. We're on the ground living from heaven.
Yeah.
It's in our blood, man. Science has proven that. That's not revelation. That's information. Yeah. Man, I'm enjoying this, dude. Me You're too. Giving me life, man. See, this is what I love, man. This is what I love, dude.
Yeah.
See, this heals people.
Yes.
This heals people when you start talking. When I talk that way, my wife just be smiling. She said, I see you got life, baby. I'd be like, oh, yeah, I got it. My wife say, boy, I love you. She say, you got that life. I should say, it gave you life, baby. I go on and pat her a little bit. Look, I'm just giving something for the people to laugh. They need to laugh at this.
This is true.
Oh, I love her, man. She say, "Boy, you going?" I say, "Yes, I am. Yes." Y'all better love your wives, guys. Wives love your husbands. Okay. See, I have to go back to the Bible.
So you got to tell me.
Love your mess, dude. What else you got, man? See, this from that one question. What other question?
That's true. Question two. Here we go.
Yeah, question number two.
So you got to tell me, how did you get introduced to, I know I've talked to you before about how you always knew you were a God seed.
Yeah.
Had conversations with God.
Yeah.
When you talk about, you know, if you had to try to express to someone how you came into the revelation of the kingdom, how would you describe that? I know this is probably going to be way different.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know it was a kingdom. I didn't call it a label. See, the kingdom is a reality that's really unnameable. We sort of label it like we've labeled other things. You know, when you study religion and doctrine, you say from the 50s, that was healing. From the 60s, then it was this. From the 70s, then the shepherd. And, you know, there's a lot of people who are involved in those different dispensations of Pentecostalism and hermeneutics and theology. Those essences have their place. Then from this year was the spirit of Christianity. From this year's the spirit is the time of the kingdom, you know. We usually need dispensations labeled to know where we are in the mix of the different genres of experience. And so we use labels to properly interpret where we are and the evolving of certain things. But with me, I didn't know it was called the kingdom. It was just the oneness. It was a sameness. Really, the kingdom is one who comes into his sameness with God. And so we call it the kingdom. Jesus would say, go, he would say, the kingdom is within you. Now, when they heard kingdom, they were thinking Roman horses fighting in wars, but he was speaking of the allness. When he spoke to Pilate, he says, I'm a king, but my kingdom or my consciousness is not from this concept that you have. It's not of this world. Because Pilate says, oh, you're a king. He said, I am one. Yeah, I'm one. He said, well, what? Where's your folks? He said, well, the consciousness from which I live isn't from here. He said, if it was, then my servants would fight and they wouldn't let you have me. So that was a concept of living that I had that came from confidence, comfort, desire, and wholeness. I lived from a reality. I thought I was like God. I didn't know the theological rendition of it. I felt that way.
Right.
And because I felt that way, I saw from that. See, however you feel is how you see. However you perceive you to be is how you will see. That's why Jesus would say, according to your faith, be it unto you. Yeah. However you feel you are, it's how you see. If you feel you're worthless, you see worthless. Even when people are nice to you, you think they're cheating you. If you feel rich, you see rich. If you feel unwanted, you see unwanted. Even when people want you, you're going to sabotage it because you see people unwanting you more than wanting you. The kingdom's reality is the restoration of seeing. You might see from hearing something. You might see from feeling something. And you might see from intuition, which is an inner knowing of some sort. Well, when I was young, I saw as a Jesus, but I was a kid. And his thinking was superheroish to me. And when I was in school, I would talk like a Jesus to the point that my classmates would say, stop it, Andre, you ain't Jesus.
Wow.
They will tell me that. Stop it, Andre. You're not Jesus. But I felt like a Jesus. I didn't know that was the kingdom.
Wow.
That's why he says, if you come to me, you must have the imagination of a child. The kingdom is a make-believe dimension that when you feel it in you, you make believe. You act out of a seed that was put in you before the foundation of the world. Sometimes religion saves us from that imagination. You had it more before you got saved than when you got saved. Sometimes when you quote unquote get saved, you act Christian. Really, when you're a child, you act more like God, and then you get structure to you and you forget it. And I'm not talking against quote unquote salvation. I'm talking about sometimes when religion saves you from a trauma of being somewhere you didn't know you were, you begin to fear where you were and you act safe. You lose that freedom and tenacity that you had before because you look at it as something wrong instead of something right.
Yeah.
And that's why people get involved in church work that bores them, because that's not them. It's like you got saved from the radical person you were to become this palatable person. And so now you're trying to put suits on that you don't like to wear. You're trying to talk in a lingo that you don't like to speak in because it bores you. There's no life. And so everybody finds an excuse not to go to church.
Yeah.
They be like, I'm tired. You know, no one wants to go to that extra service. You got to promise pizza to get people to go. You got to promise food to get people. We're going to have some food. Okay. You gotta promise a movie to get people to go. Man. You gotta promise we're gonna have flying people over here. If you come over here, we're gonna have the flying Jacksons. They're gonna be here. The trampoline team is gonna be here. No, they're gonna be there. So you gotta promise them things because that's not them. And we call that drawing them to Christ. That's not. You don't use that to draw them to Christ. You use Christ to draw them to Christ. And Christ was the radical that they need to see to come back to themselves.
That's so good.
So I didn't know it was a kingdom until later. And I began to see the vernacular of it being a message. But it was more of an experience before it was a message to me.
As it turned out, this interview held way too much revelation for just one episode, so be sure you tune in next Friday to catch the second half of this interview with Dr. Andre Feiser. You can find him at andrefeiser.com, UndraFizer.com, and on Facebook as well, where he always posts amazing quotes that I know you will enjoy greatly. So until next week, it's been Dub, it's been Kingdom, and it's been real.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Are You Real Government? For in-depth resources, show notes, information on today's discussion, or to connect with your host personally, please visit areyoureal.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the other podcasts in the Are You Real family. Until next time, thanks for keeping it real with Are You Real Government?
Hey everyone, this is Mike.
And this is Brian of Fellowship Home Loans.
Many things make us different, but what do our clients say?
We can close your loan in weeks, not months like other lenders. They love our low rates and, of course, our personalized one-on-one approach.
Call us today at 800-804-SAVE or online at fellowshiphomeloans.com.